I thirst for the living God, the God of reality, a God who can live through me and speak his word through me. That's what I'm praying for as I'm standing in the door for the living word to speak once more. I thirst for the living God, a God of reality, a God who can live through me and speak his word through me. That's what I'm praying for as I'm standing in the door for the living word to speak once more.
You want to join them?
It's really simple if you want to join in. I thirst for the living God, the God of reality, a God who can live through me and speak his word through me. That's what I'm praying for as I'm standing in the door for the living word to speak once more. I thirst for the living God, a God of reality, a God who can live and speak his word through me. That's what I'm praying for as I'm standing in the door for the living word to speak once more.
Amen. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Song, we stand up and sing.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home of mine. In the redeemed, our gathering in my Lord, with the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering, yeah, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in my Lord, with me, oh, what singing all the city will be whole. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shine. now we'll sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song. When the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin, now we shout and now we sing. When the redeemed are gathering in,
I have heard of Christians, I pledge allegiance,
long ago they were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny,
hallelujah,
like a great angelic fire sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. With all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have gone, and the years have gone, the cause of Jesus still goes on. Our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. With all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place,
hallelujah,
who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh, let's pledge this morning.
I pledge allegiance to
the Lamb.
With all my strength, with all I am, I will see
through the Lamb.
Amen. We're glad this morning to stand and to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. To show whose side we're on this morning. It's good. Saints, we just want to greet our visitors first of all. Sister Sarah is here. Brother David's sister. She's not a visitor, she's an old friend. God bless her. It's nice to be with you. Also, Sister Ruth sang for us. Sister Ruth Nash, we know Brother David Nash from America. He came and preached to us a couple of times. A great blessing. So we're really glad to have the sister with us for a week. Welcome, sister, as well. God bless you. A couple of thanksgivings. The Zimmer family for Adam, who fell down the stairs last week, but the Lord delivered him safely. We do thank the Lord for that. Also, Brother David is saying, I'd like to thank the saints for remembering him in prayer when he was ill. Good to see him back in the line of duty. Let's pray for Ariella. She has diarrhea for the last 4 days. That's Brother Andres and Sister Viva. And also, Brother Dubi is asking, please, God bless you, saints. We ask for prayer for our car, which has had a breakdown. And Sister Dubi, she's not feeling well because of the flu. So we want to put these things before the Lord. Let's come in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come upon this day to pledge allegiance unto Thee. Father, to wait upon Thee, Lord, once again. In this age, Father, just to be standing with You. Father, what a privilege, what a pleasure. Father, we would never want to stand on our own. Father, we wouldn't want to stand for our own cause. But Father, we desire, Lord, to stand with You. So Father, help us upon this day. Minister grace unto us, Lord, even in the ministration of the Word. Father, just to, Lord, minister us into that channel for Your glory, we ask and pray once again. And these needs that You have before us, Lord, we pray for little Ariella, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You've given unto us, Lord, grace. You've given unto us mercy. You've given unto us authority, Lord. And Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Touch her even now, we pray for Your glory, Lord. Father, for Sister Dubi, touch her, bless her, we pray, Lord. Help with the car. We do pray, Lord, that You'd minister grace in that situation. Lord, thank You for the thanksgivings. Thank You to see Brother Dave back again, Lord. Father, thank You for little Adam. Thank You that You watched over him, Lord. Father, just continue to watch over our children. Continue to watch over us. Father, continue, Lord, just to be nigh. Father, to keep us in Thee till the end of the way, we pray. Bless Your word unto us upon this day. Won't You open up understanding? Won't You draw nigh unto us, Lord? Let Your will be done is our desire. Father, we'd want to lay aside all else just to seek for that. Father, bless Your people. Touch Your people upon this day. Bless them gathering in like manner, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open the book of Joel, chapter 2. Just while we're saying that, just Brother Jonathan stood before. It's been really wonderful to be with Brother Jonathan. He's been a great blessing. Especially among the youth, and we really have appreciated being with him. So we're going to look forward to seeing him in the future by the grace of God. But may the Lord be with him as he had go. Just a couple of announcements as we read the word youth. We had, brother, just was a bit of a late thing, but Brother Rock and the saints in Northern Ireland had contacted us last week to say they wanted to arrange something for youth for this coming Friday, Easter Friday at Castle Well in Castle. They had made some certain arrangements, but it hasn't come through. So I just wanted to say that. He phoned me yesterday for certain reasons, so there'll be nothing. We're not going to go ahead with that. You know, he had a good desire, I think, Brother Rock. It was quite a late arrangement. But we had announced it to the saints, to the youth. Some youth had wanted to go, but just to say that's not going to go ahead on Friday. So what we're going to do this coming weekend, Easter weekend, we're going to have prayer meeting Friday, have service on Saturday. We're going to have Saturday evening service, Sunday morning service, and then after service, a short break, and we'll have communion service next Sunday. I think a communion service at Easter is a real wonderful thing to do, because this is the time and the season that we remember His death. We remember what He's done for us. So we'll have prayer meeting Friday, really asking the saints, please, to help with the prayer meeting. Please come Friday, turn out, come and pray. If you want this church to be better, if you want this church to go forward, if you want issues to be resolved, it all starts in prayer. So we're really asking saints, please come for the prayer meeting. Then let's come Saturday evening, Sunday morning. We'd like to take a certain thought. We've started off a little bit today by the grace of God. Let's get into the word. We're arranging some meetings. We couldn't get anybody for Easter. You know, I tried. Brother Crosby had invited me to go across there, and certain things took place, and I didn't go. But we're arranging some revival meetings with two ministers at the moment. I'll let you know when the final details come through. But in a few weeks' time, we'd like to have a weekend, two different ministers coming. So please pray for that. But next weekend, Easter weekend, Saturday evening, we'll have service. Sunday morning, and then we're going to have a short break between Sunday morning and the communion service. So may the Lord help us. Let's read Joel chapter 2. Familiar scripture. We'll read it from 23 to 31. Wonderful, gracious promises in the Word. The Word says, verse 23, Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it will come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I will also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. You may be seated. We'll just take our thought from verse 25. I will restore. That's a promise. I will restore, saith the Lord. You know, we are reading just this week, listening to the message, especially coming up to Easter, is the message, the restoration of the bride tree. You know, I really love that message. I think it's a great blessing. I'd really recommend if somebody would like to listen. Sorry, somebody wanted a Bible dedicated. Let's just dedicate this so they can use their Bible. Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you for your word that has stood the test of time. Thank you, Lord, that your word is an anvil, Lord, that the enemy has tried to beat and it's worn out all of his devices, Lord. And thank you that your word is a rock, Father. It's a rock that stands firm and secure. And we just want to stand upon your word. May you bless this Bible. Father, whosoever it would be, Lord, Father, may it be a real, true blessing unto them. Father, may you reveal yourself through the pages of this book. May you lead them into fellowship and communion with you, Lord. Let this book, Father, Lord, be a blessing and be blessed. And Father, let it be, Lord, something that would better equip your servant, Lord, to serve and to worship thee in this late hour. Bless this Bible, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, whoever that is. So we're looking at this message, the restoration of the bride tree, because we're coming into the season of Easter. Now, Easter is a real wonderful time, especially in the northern hemisphere, because it's springtime. And there's something really good about springtime. We've spoken before. But the prophet says in Restoration of the Bride Tree, page 19, he says, Easter is the resurrection, restoring, to restore back. It's God's restoring time. And anybody who gets out there, goes, take a walk in the fields, take a walk, you're going to see in the natural, this is the season of restoration. After winter, after the hard winter, the leaves off the trees, you know, the flowers, the petals, long time fell off, the buds. Now everything falls into the ground. It's not a nice time, winter. But at the end of winter, there's always God's restoring time. So we're coming now, naturally speaking, into God's restoring time. When God looks down at his creation to restore, and he says, you look out over the earth, God is restoring. Restoring what? Nature. So God is restoring his creation. Because God, what is nature? When we look at the trees, we look at the flowers, we look at the fields, we look at the various farmers planting their seed now. What is all of this? This is all the attributes of God's spoken word. Now, so God spoke nature into existence. So there was a purpose that God had. God had a desire, and he spoke all of these things, and he put laws into place that every tree will bring forth of its own kind. But because this nature that's being restored now is part of God's program, this is part of God's spoken word, God has a program for his nature. And every year he brings around the season of restoration to come and restore this creation that he created. And why does he need to restore at Easter time? Because of winter. Now what is winter? Friends, winter is an attribute of the fall. There was never a winter in Eden. Adam and Eve never knew anything about winter. Creation before the fall had no winter. There was never ever the cold winds of winter. There was never ever the snow and the frost that came to work upon God's creation, to bring death into God's creation in that season every time of the year. And if you really think about it, God every Easter is testifying to us in springtime of his great program and plan that he has a restoration. That whatever the fall has caused, whatever we see in nature, when we see those flowers, when we see those trees looking so barren, looking so lean during the winter time, you just wait long enough for the season, the cycle to roll around once again, and God testifies that he has a restoration. It's his time of restoration. It's Easter, he says, meaning to bring it back. So there's always a bring it back to the sons and daughters of God. Now to God's creation, to God's spoken word creation. What God had in his mind, what God had in his purpose. And he spoke it in the beginning. And then the fall came in and the attributes of the fall. But God always has an I will restore to his creation. And every Easter, God is going to testify that to us time and time again. This great cycle of revival and death and then revival again. When you see God revives his nature, then it goes through that cycle in winter once again. But God's great law, God's great cycle brings about the season once again of restoration, which is a season that we're entering into once again, naturally speaking. So he says he went to check in the dictionary for the definition of to restore. What does it mean to restore? So firstly, to restore means to bring back to its former owner. You know, so it's something that belongs to you and has been taken from you. You have the rights to enforce a claim for that which belongs to you. That's the law of restoration. If somebody has taken something back from you, you know, you have the right, you have the authority to claim back that which belongs to you. But also to restore means to bring back to its former estate or condition. When you see those trees like that, when you see those fields so barren like that, they weren't like that a while ago. No, they were serving a divine purpose. They were bringing forth of their own kind. When you see those flowers, you know, and you say, but hey, this used to be such a wonderful garden, so full of fragrance and so full of beauty. But you see now that it's not like that because of the effects of the fall, because of the effects of winter. You know, God has a restoration. To bring something back to its original state. To bring something back to its former condition. Friends, imagine if God didn't have a law like this. Imagine if God didn't care for his creation. Imagine if he said, well, it's fallen. I'm just going to leave it in its fallen condition. That used to be fruitful. It used to be beautiful. It used to, you know, serve its purpose, but it stopped serving its purpose. So I'm just going to leave it to lie like that in the bleak dust or the soil or under the clod in the earth. But God says, no. God says, I am the God of restoration. He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And that's what he does. And he testifies that to us every Easter, that that is his desire. Because God will never create something. God will never make something and have a purpose in mind for that which he's created. And then let that thing stay in a condition that it doesn't bring forth what is intended to bring forth. That may lay like that for a season, the season of autumn, the season of winter. But God testifies to us that he remembers his creation. That which he has spoken, that which he has ordained, in due season he will restore. Because that's the promise of his word. No matter how much it may have suffered from the effects of the fall, no matter how bleak it may look, no matter how that seed may be broken open and the pulp may be coming out of that seed, and you will look, like I say many times, like Ezekiel looking at the valley of the dry bones, and you will say within yourself, son of man, can these dry bones ever live once again? But when the Lord blows the breath of life once again, that which was a mighty army, remember Brother Vitali last Easter preaching to us, that those bones in the valley were once a mighty army. They once served a purpose. They once marched in tune to the word. They once walked in divine harmony with the king. But then something had come and they became a valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel looked at that valley of dry bones and he may have despaired inside of himself. But the Lord spoke to him and said, son of man, in a sense, and don't look at it with natural eyes. Because this one served its purpose. And though it may have fallen and decayed, and though you may look at it now and say, can this ever serve its purpose once again? But God is saying, just let me breathe the breath of life. Let me just prophesy over the bones once again. And there'll be a revival of the bones. And then when he spoke over the bones, and the bones started to come back into their former positions once again. You know, the arm bone found its position, and the leg bone found its position, and the knee bone found its position. And then came the skin and the sinews and everything upon that body. Then the Lord said, now prophesy. And God breathed his breath and it became a mighty living army. Friends, that's a great, great thing. And that's also speaking of Israel in our age. That you would have looked at Israel. You might have looked in the days of the Holocaust. And you might have said, there's absolutely no hope for these people. But look at them now. God has said in due season, I will restore, saith the Lord. It doesn't matter the effects of the fall. Doesn't matter how far they may get out of my program. Doesn't matter how far they got away from the purpose that God raised them up for. God doesn't forget. Remember Brother Nanda preaching about him being the ever-remembering God. God doesn't forget, friends. And in his due season, he says, I will restore. And that's what Easter testifies to us. The prophet says, what is it? He says, the flower. It has an Easter claim. He says, the flower claims it has a right to rise again. I like that, friends. That flower, that little flower with that germ of life inside of it, it never created itself. It never put itself upon the earth. It was God that created that seed. And God put the germ of life inside of that seed to bring forth for his glory. And although now the fall has hit that seed, winter's chilling breath has hit that seed. Though Satan may look at that seed and say, this seed will never bring forth what was ordained to bring forth. But there's the principle of life inside of the seed. And there's a law in God's creation, the law of restoration, the prophet says. And that little seed has a right to claim that law. And the deep inside of that seed, as it lays inside of that field, wherever it is, as it lays beneath that earth, there's something inside of that seed that will be crying out to say, but I wasn't created to lie like this. I wasn't created for this kind of a condition. I was created for a purpose. I was created to express of this life that's inside of me, to bring forth his purpose for his glory. And that deep that is inside of the seed, it calls out, it makes a claim upon the God of restoration. Every Easter time, every springtime, that seed will be crying out saying, oh Lord, you didn't make me to be like this, but I can't change myself. Because the power of restoration is not in the seed. God says, I will restore. So the seed knows inside of itself that there's a God somewhere. There's a deep out there that is going to respond to the deep inside of the seed. As the seed wants to come forth, as the seed wants to go back to its former glory, as it wants to bring forth something, a fragrance and a beauty and a fruit for the glory of God. Friends, it makes a claim every year upon the God of restoration, upon the laws of restoration, and that deep inside of the seed groaning down there beneath the soil, groaning after the effects of the fall and groaning after winter. It calls out inside of itself to the God of restoration and says, Lord, you said I will restore. And God every time will respond to that claim when you make it upon him. Because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. If God is your shepherd, if he's the one who called you, if you heard his voice, my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't matter what winter's done to you, friend. It doesn't matter what the season gone by has done to you inside of your life. God says, I will restore your soul. He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And friends, if every single one of us would just stand upon that and make the claim upon the God of creation, things will change. Things will change. God will bring you back to your former glory. God will bring you back to your former fruitfulness. He says there was the former rain. He says, but I'm going to send the former and the latter rain to fall in the first month. He says, and when I come and visit my people, when I come and restore, he says, it'll be full of wheat. He says, there'll be the vats overflowing with oil and wine. And he says, and my people shall rejoice in me. He says, because my people will never be ashamed. He says, you may go through a season, but God will never leave you in that condition. If you're part of his spoken word creation, if God thought of you before the foundation of the world, if God spoke and you came into existence, if God put that germ of life into the seed of the earth like he's done for you, it doesn't matter what the fall's going to do to you. Doesn't matter what Satan does to you. There comes every cycle. The cycle has to turn itself around. And God will come and say, I will restore, saith the Lord. And he visits his creation on a regular basis to restore. And every single one of his spoken word creation will be restored in his season. That's what the promise of Easter speaks to us about. That is what it is. So the prophet says it makes its Easter claim. The flower has a right to claim to rise again. Because it's not created to be in that kind of a condition. And he says, and when that flower makes the claim upon the God of creation, God has a law. He says, God's law of nature pulls the earth around. So God has put a law in place. Whenever his seed is laying in that kind of a condition, God has put a law of restoration. Because God knows the only thing that's required here is I've got to get the earth back in the right relationship with the sun once again. Because the restoring power is in the sun. The restoring resources of the Lord. It's not in the seed. It's not in the earth. It's in the spring sun, the prophet says. So if that spring sun can just shine upon that seed once again, if it can just turn the earth around once again and just bring it into correct orbit so that the spring sun can shine upon God's creation, there's going to be, I will restore. There's going to be a restoration as sure as the world. And he's saying that. He says God sends the earth back around the sun because God made the law of nature bring forth an Easter. The return of the sun to restore what the winter killed. Ah, friends, that's all that we need. We just need a return of the sun. You just need a return of his warmth. You just need a return of him setting his face towards you. You just need a return, not of that sun that's far off and distant as in winter, that you hardly ever see it, therefore it can't restore you well. But in springtime, the sun comes back and shines its face upon the creation. And when the spring sun returns, it comes now to reverse all that winter has done. All that winter has desired to do. That condition of God's creation that has come about because of winter, the spring sun comes because of the law of restoration and rolls back all the effects of winter. And here comes forth the restoration of God's creation once again. That's all that it's got to be. It says God sends the earth back around the sun, as we're told, from way back here. So the earth, in a sense, has got far away from the sun, far away from the resources that can minister to it to bring forth, so that it can bring forth what it was ordained to bring forth. But it's got far away, the earth. But God has his cycle. He says the earth went away from the sun, went back out here. He says that's the way a sinner does. Gets away from the S-O-N. He says now we're speaking about the S-U-N. And when it's out there, death strikes it. Winter. It kills every living thing it can kill out in here. And now, when the earth gets back, it says the seed is frozen. The pulp is run out. Everything's gone. But there's a little life preserved. It doesn't matter what the devil does. There's a little life that's preserved. Because it's God's spoken word. Satan has no power or authority over God's spoken word. He can never do anything to God's spoken word. So no matter how much it gets that low, it gets that down, it gets that cold, it gets that far away from the sun, There's a little life that's preserved. The principle of life. That life that God spoke into the seed. He says, and as soon as the sun gets back in position with the earth once again. Now let's think about this, friends. God's great principle of revival. He brings the sun. He actually brings the earth and the sun closer together once again. Oh, friends, when he draws near, call upon his name. Because God has a season for his people, a regular season, where he will draw near to his people. There will be a time of visitation for his creation. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've been through. God is the one that has established the law. Because he doesn't want to see his creation in a condition that it's not bringing forth what it was ordained to bring forth. So he draws near, the sun draws near. The spring sun draws near to that seed once again. And the principle of life inside of the seed is crying out for that. Is making a claim upon the God of creation. And God brings the sun closer now. And God starts to draw near to his people once again. God starts to visit his people in the season of restoration, which is Easter time. That's what he does to his creation. It says, and as soon as the sun gets back in position with the earth once again, there's an Easter, a restoration. Up comes the flowers again. Up comes everything. All that winter killed, the sun restores. Our friends, it's not in anything else. It's just getting back in his presence. It's just laying in the presence of the sun when he draws nigh unto you once again. It's just allowing the principle of restoration, the restoring life-giving principle of his life when it draws near to you. When he starts to bathe you once again in his goodness. When he starts to draw near to you once again. It doesn't happen overnight, friends. You know, it's a process, it's a cycle. That as the sun draws closer and closer, that seed starts to lay and bathe in the presence of the sun. And all that this winter has done, that presence of the sun, that atmosphere that comes forth from the God of restoration, it comes and it drives back all that winter had done. And then all of a sudden, that which was in the seed, always in the seed, the atmosphere becomes right once again for it to express what it was created to express. And it starts to push and it starts to bring forth. And there comes a budding and a root goes down and a stalk comes up. And as the season continues on, as it lays in the presence of the sun, it's going to bring forth a fragrance once again. It's going to bring forth the same fragrance that it used to bring forth in spring times gone by. It's going to bring forth beauty once again to reflect the glory of God in God's creation as it used to express. And it's going to bring forth pollen and send out the seed that it may bring forth the fruit that it's ordained to bring forth. But friends, the restoration isn't in the seed. The restoration isn't in the earth. The restoration is in the spring sun. When the spring sun, according to the law of restoration, draws near to his spoken word creation once again and starts to draw forth from his creation that which is created his creation to express. And it's going to be exactly the same as you and I, friends. If God doesn't draw near to your soul, if God doesn't draw near to us, we'll lay the way that we are for the rest of time. We'll never be able to change ourselves. We can't restore ourselves. But he has promised, I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore your soul. He's promised seasons of restitution. He's promised to come with seasons of refreshing once again in the presence of the sun. Friends, those are glorious promises. And we just have to, the seed in us, make a claim on the God of restoration and see how he'll draw near. See how he'll start moving things until he brings back that old familiar spring sunshine that you used to rejoice in, that you used to bathe in its presence and bring forth for his glory. Just wait and see how the spring sun will draw nigh unto you once again. If inside of your soul you get fed up with that condition of laying beneath that clod, fed up and you look inside of your condition and you say, but I'm not bringing forth the fruit that I'm ordained to bring forth in this season. Just looking and saying, I know the life is inside of me, but this isn't the way that I'm supposed to be. Surely he created me for something more than this. You know what that flower just has to do? Has to remember from whence it has fallen. Just has to remember the seasons and the times gone by when it wasn't in that kind of a condition. It just has to look back and say, but you know, there used to be a time that the bees used to come and I used to minister nectar to them. I used to minister to God's creation according to the way that I was made. And then we'll look and we'll say, you know, and I used to see the people going by and how they would rejoice in my beauty. And how they would worship God because of the expression of beauty that He had put inside of me that I was expressing in my season. But then winter comes in, friends. You know, winter speaks of the fall. Winter speaks of the prince of the power of the air. Winter speaks of a cold, lifeless atmosphere. It comes in onto God's creation in winter. And then you'll look at God's creation and you'll see the principle of life is there. But we're needing the presence of the spring sun once again. Oh, friends, and I don't know any better way than to come to prayer meeting for that. And to get in the closet and to lay on your face and let the seed that's inside of you make a claim upon the God of restoration. And say, but Lord, you have made the promise. Lord, I don't want to continue in this kind of a condition. I don't want just a profession that doesn't bring forth. I want something that brings forth as it used to bring forth. Something that expresses for your glory. And as that desire, as that burden is inside of you, watch and see what God will do. That's the same as Hannah that day when she was going up to the temple. She had been all those years, year after year. And she knew the principle of life is in me. But I'm not bringing forth what I'm ordained to bring forth. And there was an aching inside of her. There was a dissatisfaction inside of her soul. Other women could be satisfied with this, that, and the other. But she knew, I am ordained to bring forth something. But I'm still in a barren condition here. I haven't yet brought forth. I can feel a deep inside of me that is crying out to a deep inside of the Lord, saying, Lord, surely this isn't just my lot in life. Know that my husband loves me to come up to the feasts of the Lord, you know, 3-4 times a year, whatever it is, to come year by year. Surely there's more to it than this. I can feel it inside of me, Lord. There's got to be something beyond this. And she went up that feast time. And she went and got herself into the presence of the spring sun. She got herself into the Shekinah presence of God. And she took the issue seriously before the Lord and said, Lord, if you will touch me, if you will give me a son, I will lend him to the Lord all the days of my life. And as we said many times, God had a great desire at that time. He needed a prophet. He needed someone to anoint and bring forth the kingdom of David in that day. After the days of Hophni and Phinehas and Eli and so forth, and all the things taking place in the tabernacle at that time, even gossiping and all that, saying cruel things to one another and causing tears and heartache the way that it was. But she went now to the right place. And when that deep inside of her, she yielded and responded to that deep, and she drew near to him who dwells between the wings of the cherubim. The spring sun, the God of creation himself, the God of restoration, looked upon her and started to bathe her in his presence now. And as she lay there and she called upon his name and made her claim upon the God of restoration, what happened? God started to reverse all that the fall had done inside of her. God started to turn it back, and she knew something had happened. And then when she went to Eli and he says, why are you drunken in the house of the Lord? She said, I'm not drunken, my Lord, but I'm a woman of bitter spirit, of sorrowful spirit. And I've been crying out to the Lord. And then the Spirit came upon the high priest and he gave her the high priest's blessing and said, may it be unto you according to what you've asked of the Lord. And the Bible says she rose from there and she went away no more sad. There was a satisfaction inside of her because she had been in the presence of the One. And she had made a claim upon Him, a rightful claim, because she wanted to express what she was born to express. And she could see something had struck her, something had struck her in the realm where she should have been fruitful, but she wasn't being fruitful at that time. And she needed the God of restoration to come with His presence to restore, to bring her back to the place that she could conceive and bring forth what she was ordained to bring forth. And friends, it's the same as the sons and daughters of God. To come into His presence, to come before Him, to forget about everything else and say, but Lord, I want to bring forth what You've ordained me to bring forth and to lay in the presence of the spring sun. The prophet says, all that the winter killed, the sun restores. He says, so is it now with the people. So is it now with the people. Friends, it's His presence. It's His grace. It's His visitation that makes the difference. It's nothing to do with man. It's nothing to do with the programs of man. It's nothing to do with the education of man. It's He is the one who restores. And until He draws near, you'll never be restored. But He's the God of restoration. And He has said, I will restore, saith the Lord. He's promised. So just make your claim upon the God of restoration. He says, God restores His flowers. He restores His leaves, His nature, His seed of the earth. Oh, look how God has such a care for these little things that we look at as insignificant. We look at those fields and say, but there's no grass anymore on this field. We look at the trees and say, there's no more leaves on this tree. God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten. God still has a purpose and a plan. Remember, He said in Jeremiah 29, He says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. He says, you've been in captivity 70 years. He says, but if you'll seek me, and you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart, and I will take you back to the place that you were before you went into your restoration. He's the God of restoration, friends. But as long as in that season when He's drawing near, when there's a deep inside of you that is seeking something, it's responding to something inside of Him, seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him, lay in His presence, lay in the presence of the spring sun, lay in the presence of His life-giving resources as He draws near to your soul, that you may bring forth, because He will reverse all that the enemy has done inside of your life. Because He said He'll restore. I will restore, saith the Lord. It wasn't the man that said that. It's the God who made you that said that. He says to you, I will restore. That's what He says. If you will receive it and take that claim and say, Lord, you've made a promise. You've made a law of restoration. I'm laying my claim now upon the promise of restoration. He'll draw near. He'll start to restore. And as you just yield and submit yourself to Him, let Him do His work. Let Him do His job. The prophet says, now the only way it can ever remain dead, that seed, is to let it lay in the wrong place. If you just continue laying in the wrong place, you know, don't stay in the wrong place. You know, make sure you get yourself and just throw yourself down in the right place. Don't play around with the world and the things of the world. Don't play around with unbelief and the things of unbelief. Don't lay in the wrong place and then expect there's going to be a restoration. It doesn't work like that. The seed just has to be laying in the right place. The prophet says, if it falls in the right place, it's got to come back to life once again. So God, let us fall in the right channel for restoration. And what is better than the message of the hour? This is God's provided channel of restoration to His people. Just to lay in the presence of the Son of Man, friends. Just to put on those messages, to call upon His name, to yield yourself unto Him. To once again just let this channel of restoration be opened between you and Him. And He says, I will restore. And friends, He will restore. That may not come in a day, it may not come in a week, but He's made a promise, I will restore, saith the Lord. He's made the promise to us. The prophet speaks about when God first created earth, and it was without form and void. Now, God didn't make the earth to be like that. God didn't make it so that there'd be darkness upon the face of the deep. God doesn't make a creation to stay like that. And when God looked down and He saw that the earth was without form and void, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that word means to brood. The Spirit of the Lord came to brood now. As a hen going over the eggs that haven't yet hatched, but have got a lot of potential. There's something inside of there that they're supposed to bring forth. But it's going to need the hen to come and brood, to cover, to create an atmosphere, to express something to that creation, that something that has come forth from her. And then if she just broods over that nest, it's going to start to bring forth what it was ordained to bring forth. And the prophet says, in the message, what does it take to make a Christian life? That's a good title, friends, especially the young people. What does it take to make a Christian life? It doesn't take education, friends. It doesn't take knowledge. Those things are fine. But it takes the presence of the spring sun. It takes His presence. It takes you laying yourself in the right place before Him and allowing Him to brood over you. That you may have darkness in your life. You may be without form and void in your experience. But there's a potential in there. God didn't make you to stay like that. Amen. If you are son and daughter of God, you're part of His spoken word creation. He thought of you and He spoke you into existence. He put the germ of life, the principle of life inside of your soul. And He ordained you to bring forth something for His glory. The only thing that's needing is like the earth. The Holy Ghost had to come and brood over the earth. And He says in the beginning, He says, God our Father looked over this bleak earth. It wasn't in a very good condition, friends. But that's one thing I love about the Lord. God isn't discouraged by the way things are at any one time. Because God knows the end from the beginning. And God doesn't give up on that which God has spoken. He'll never give up on that which He has spoken. He'll never. So He looked at the bleak earth. And it wasn't nothing but one big bowl of water. And God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. The Logos that went out of God. And it began to brood over the earth. Oh, friends. Don't you love those kind of times? When you get yourself out there and you get yourself still and you get yourself prayed through and you get yourself yielded. And His great Logos, His great presence comes and starts to brood over your soul once again. Oh, friends, just lay there long enough and there's going to be a restoration, I tell you. You're going to start to bring forth things that you used to bring forth that maybe you haven't seen the fruit for quite some time because of the season that you've been through, because of the effects of the fall that have affected you in your experience once again. But He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. Just give Him an opportunity because He will draw near. He will visit His people. He has to, otherwise He's not the God of restoration. He testifies every springtime, every Easter, that there's the cycle of revival and death. And when you've gone from revival and you've gone into the time of winter, the time of death, just hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for the night, but the cycle will turn around once again because the seed in you is making a claim on the God of creation to say, but I wasn't ordained to live this kind of a life. I wasn't ordained to stay in this kind of a condition. But Lord, I cannot restore myself. You are the God of restoration. I'm making my Easter claim upon you now that you may draw near and let the full face of the spring sun look upon me, O Lord. Shine upon my soul once again. We sing the song, shine on me, O Lord. Shine on me. Let the light of the lighthouse shine on me. Friends, the prophet says all the bride needs is to lay in the presence of the sun. That's all that she needs to do for you to bring forth what God has ordained you to bring forth. All you need to do is lay in the presence of the sun. But that means you're going to have to separate from certain things, from unbelief and from the things that will hinder His life-giving resources from drawing near unto your soul. But the prophet says, we read it last week, that the church cannot lay on its face in repentance before God will send down unction and power and bring a revival among His people. But the church has to lay on its face in repentance before God. We have to be separating ourselves and repenting of the things that we've allowed this winter to bring into our experience. Let's not hold on to these things, friends. Let's not fellowship with these things of darkness, these things of the fall that have affected us inside of our lives. But let's look away from those things and let's look away to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's make an Easter claim upon Him upon this year and say, Lord, You have promised that You will restore. Lord, we're going to lay upon our faces before You in under repentance. And we know that, Lord, You're going to cause the law of restoration to work once again. And You're going to draw the sun back close to the earth once again. And You're going to start shining down upon our souls once again. And friends, it never ever fails. Any person who's ever sought God and found Him again, it never fails. But you've got to seek Him with all your heart. You got to seek Him. If you seek Me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. He's the God of restoration. He'll encourage you in every way that He can. He will give you this and He'll give you that. He'll visit you in different ways. But He's saying, just seek My face at this time. Just let your soul express itself to me. Let your soul make its Easter claim upon me at this time, and I will restore, saith the Lord. That's the promise of the Lord. The prophet says that the Holy Spirit came to the earth in Genesis, the Logos, and it began to brood over the earth. He says, and the word brood means to make love, or just like a dove to coo. Ah, friends, that's what it is. That's what starts to minister life back into experience once again. It's not the hardness of things. We need rebuke, friends. We need correction to wake us up. But when he comes like the spring rain many times. He comes in your soul in that gentleness and he starts to revive you once again. And you start to feel and you experience things that you haven't felt for quite some time. And you start to say, but oh Lord, I do remember. I do remember my faults. Remember the butler before Pharaoh when he was speaking about his dream that he couldn't interpret. And then he says, I do remember my faults. Oh Lord, we should say that to the Lord. Oh Lord, I do remember my faults. I do remember my faults. I do remember my failings, Lord. Something's happening like with the prodigal son. I'm starting to come back to myself once again. I'm starting to remember that I have my father's house. I didn't used to always be in this barren, unfruitful condition. Wasn't always in this lack and this want and bringing this disgrace and living in this kind of a place. But in days gone by when I was living in the presence of my father, my father's house is bread enough and to spare. Oh, friends, so what did he do? He wanted to come and lay himself in the right channel. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as your servant. And as soon as he started to set his face, what happened? Oh, his father always had reconciliation in his soul. His father always desired a full restoration of his son, a full restoration of the relationship with his son. And when the father saw him coming far off, the Bible says, he ran to meet him. Ah, friends, that was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ expressing God's desire to us. That as soon as you set your affection back towards him, as soon as you start taking those steps, step by step, like we've always said, he said, the Bible says the young man thought, I will arise. And the Bible says, and he arose. Many of us when we're in church, or many of us when someone speaks to us, we resolve in ourselves to say, I will arise. And then we go out and we never arise. And then he says, I will return. And he did. He returned. And that's what it is, friends. You've got to follow through the desire. Don't just make the resolution, but follow it through. Pursue that which he has stirred up inside of your soul to resolve. That claim which the deep in him is bringing forth from your soul. Just keep pursuing it. I'm going to tell you one thing, friends. The devil's going to throw a lot of discouraging things in your way. The devil's going to try to frustrate you. The prophet says all that confidence that the Lord put in you on a weekend, he's going to try to knock that confidence, the devil, out of you on a Monday. He's going to do his best because he doesn't want to see you calling upon the name of the Lord in that kind of a way. Setting your face in that kind of a way. So you're going to need some perseverance. You're going to need some persistence. You're going to need to keep on knocking. Jesus says knock. That means keep on knocking and it shall be open. Ask. That means keep on asking and it shall be given unto you. But friends, the desire inside of your soul, just allow it to express itself. Just follow it through because that's what you ordained unto. The prophet says he came down, he says, like a mental picture. He says, with his great wings around the earth, the dove, the Holy Ghost, brooding, making love, cooing, saying, come, come, the Father has ordained you to come. So he was speaking to the creation now once again to say, you're not bringing forth what you're supposed to bring forth. I'm going to brood over you. Come now, bring forth what you're supposed to bring forth. And in that atmosphere, and that relationship, it starts to do something, friends. It starts to make a difference. The prophet says, is it soaking in? I've come to manifest what the Father has spoken. He's spoken about you as his creation. He's spoken that principle of life into you. He's put in your spiritual DNA what you're supposed to bring forth in his season. And I've come now. I'm drawing nigh unto you, the spirit of restoration. I'm going to brood over your soul. I'm going to speak to you and say, come forth. It's time to manifest what you are ordained to manifest. Oh, friends, that's God's way of working. I don't know any other way that God has of working. And we just have to work together with Him. We just have to sense the season and submit ourselves to Him, give ourselves over to Him and let Him have His wonderful way. The by that song says, let go and let God have His wonderful way. You know, we can kick at it, we can fuss at it, we can try to do all these other things, but if you had just let go and let God have His wonderful way, He will work and He will move. He'll bring forth repentance, He'll bring forth reconciliation, He'll bring forth everything that's required in that season. So the prophet says, speaking of that seed once again, he says, all that the winter has killed, the sun restores. The returning of the sun, what does it do? He says, listen, when the sun, the spring sun, comes back in line with the earth again, it actually forces death to give up the dead to a resurrection. Amen. Ah, friends. God comes and makes His claim now. That's what the resurrection morning is going to be, friends. The rapture day. He's making His claim. And death will have to fall back and give way. But how much more in your experience now? When He draws near to you, He's coming to make His claim as well. To say, this is my son and this is my daughter. They were not ordained to live like this. And although there'll be darkness and death over you, but when the spring sun draws near and He starts to make His claim, the prophet says that presence of the sun, it forces back death from the seed. That coldness that brings the barrenness. That coldness that stops that seed from expressing itself. It's the presence of the sun comes and forces back that death. Oh, friends, is that not wonderful? Don't you want to just surrender yourself to Him and say, Lord, come and take away this barrenness. Come and take away the effects of this winter inside of my soul, that I may express what You want me to express. He says, and when that sun comes onto the seed, He says, it's a resurrection, He says, what does it? The sun coming, that's God's law. And the flower has served its term. The seed has served its term and it died and went into the earth and there's a restoration. You know, friends, if you've been in the line of duty, the devil may have hammered you in the line of duty. Now, if at one stage you were serving your term, you were serving the purpose of God inside of your life, and then you moved into the cycle of winter, and the winter condition has come and taken away your fruitfulness from you and brought you to a barren condition that you're looking and you say, I haven't been growing in this season. Oh, friends, that's what the prophet's speaking about. He says, but because that flower was faithful, that flower never asked to fall into the dust of the earth. That flower wants to express the glory of God. That flower wants to bring forth the fragrance that it's ordained to bring forth. So because it was faithful, it was doing its best, and then the effects of the fall came and smote that flower. And the life left that flower, and the petals dried up and fell off and blew away. And the only thing that was left was a little seed, and it fell into the earth. Oh, friends, because it was serving its purpose, God has a season of restoration. God says, I won't let it lay down like that. In the masterpiece, the prophet says, when God was in heaven and He heard that His son and His daughter had fallen, God Himself got off the throne. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send anybody else. He says, my son has fallen. He says, the masterpiece has fallen. It's fallen and it's laying in the grass. He says, but I won't leave it like that. And God came down and He said, I will restore. And right through the Old Testament, He was restoring His masterpiece. And then came the masterpiece Himself. And then there came the bride of the masterpiece and she fell. We'll look at it next weekend by the grace of God. But God said, I will restore. And right in the darkness of winter, the dark ages, when you would have looked at that church and said, Son of Man, can these dry bones live? When the devil would have thought, I've got them. They're so far down, they can never get up again. But God says, no, I'm not going to leave it like that. I will restore, saith the Lord. And God started the Reformation. Then He sent Wesley. Then He sent Azusa Street. Then He sent the messenger of the hour, Elijah shall come and restore all things. Ah, friends, God is the God of restoration. If He's a God of restoration in nature, Easter's testifying of it to us. If He's a God of restoration through the church ages, we know we're living in the age of restoration. How much more in your own personal experience? He's the God of restoration. He'll never leave you like that unless you want to stay like that. Unless you want to lay in that place that the sun doesn't do you any good. But if you'll just put yourself in the place, have the right attitude, have the right approach, humble yourself, and just allow Him to draw near and let the spring sun come and bring forth a restoration. He'll do it, friends, because He's the God of restoration. The prophet says that that flower served its term, it served its purpose, and it died and went into the earth, but then there's a restoration. He says, it's not a thing it can do. It's not a thing that you and I can do to restore ourselves. It's not. If it's not the grace of God, friends, if God wasn't gracious, if He wasn't the God of all grace, when we fall, when we get out of orbit, when the chilling breath of winter comes and blows and become barren in our experience, we'll stay like that. We'll stay like that, just grieved in our souls, and the life principle in us will just be crying out and saying, but oh, if there could just be some way. If there was just some way that I could be restored. But friends, God is the God of restoration. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. Oh, I shall not want. He provides your needs. He leads you by still waters. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. But He says, He restores my soul. And if David, who went so far down in the depths of spiritual winter, when he slew Uriah with the sword of the Hittites, whatever it was, and then he takes Bathsheba and he lives in adultery with Bathsheba, and the life principle in David and his ministry went right down in the roots. And there was no fellowship. There was no fruit. He never brought forth a single psalm in the time of his spiritual winter. He never did. But God said, I will restore. God says, I never ordained this man to stay in this condition. So God sent His prophet to the man. God sent His prophet to deal with the issue that was keeping him from restoration. And when David cast himself into the channel of restoration and said, I have sinned against the Lord. Yeah. Then the Spirit struck the prophet in a message of grace, the prophet says, and says, but you will not die. Yeah. Oh, the Lord had to purge him, friends. He's purged us all recently, hasn't He? Through many things that you've been going through, but He's the God of restoration. His chastening is but for a season, that you may bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, the Bible says. It says, no chastening is pleasant when you're going through it, but afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Oh, friends, if you just lay in that channel and say, oh Lord, restore. Lord, just purge me, Lord, from the effects of this cold wind of winter. Oh, friends, He's the God of restoration. And He will restore, because God said, I will restore. I don't think we need any more promises in the Bible. If we just take that one promise seriously, it'll meet every need that we have here today. If every one of us will just say, God, You said, I will restore. I'm making my claim at Easter time upon You. If the flower makes a claim and you move heavens and earth to meet the need of the flower, how much more are you going to move spiritual heaven and earth to meet my need? Friends, let's ask ourselves as we come to Easter. That's why I said, let's come next week and seek the Lord, friends. In the season of restoration, that you may call upon Him and say, Lord, You have promised You will restore. Come and help us, Lord, as we lay in the channel of restoration. Restore us, Lord, for Your glory, to bring forth for Your great name's sake. Now the prophet then moves on. We'll finish with this thought. He speaks of what is it? He speaks of the bride tree now. He speaks of God at Pentecost. He planted a tree, the tree of life, into the dust of the earth once again. He says that was His bride tree. We saw the bridegroom tree get nailed to the Roman tree at Easter. We know that. And we saw the bride was in His side. We know the water, blood, and spirit had to come forth because it was time for the bride to be expressed. And then God sent forth the full power of restoration on the day of Pentecost. And He came and He fell upon 120 as they waited in one accord in the upper room. And the tree of life came down once again and was planted amongst men. And God planted himself in 120. He planted himself in the early church. But friends, it didn't take the devil long to get to work on that great masterpiece that God was working upon. And the devil, now what did he do? The prophet says, God planted a fruit tree. That's what the early church was. That's the bride, is a fruit tree. And friends, you and I, God has planted a fruit tree. We ordained to bring forth certain spiritual fruit for his glory and his praise. We are God's fruit tree, and he, if you are a genuine believer here today, you are his workmanship. You're not the workmanship of man. You are his. We are his workmanship, the Bible says, created to bring forth good works for his glory. You ordained to bring forth fruit for his glory in his season now. That's what you ordained to do. But the devil's not going to leave you like that. The devil's not going to leave you like that. And let's read Joel chapter 1 just to see the scripture the prophet read at the beginning once again. He reads from verse 2, Joel chapter 1 verse 2 up to verse 4. We know the scriptures. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust has left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Ah, friends, the devil. The prophet calls him, I'll show you exactly what he calls him in a second here. The prophet says that tree was brought there for a purpose. He wanted it to bear his fruit word, God's word. That was the fruit tree. Now, when this tree God planted was to bear 9 different kinds of fruits, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit, it was ordained, it's in the DNA of that seed to bring forth these things. The prophet says, now, David saw this tree in Psalm 1. When David says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. The tree was planted for that purpose, to bring forth his fruit in his particular season. So God puts you in that season. The prophet says, and notice that tree, no matter what the devil did to it, this bride tree through the ages, it could not die. His leaves, the Bible says, would not wither, okay, in Psalm 1. No. No matter what they do, they'll never kill that tree. The palmer worm may do his work. The caterpillar may do his work. The locust may do his work. All stages of this bug will do its work on this tree. But it'll never touch the life. It'll never touch the life principle of this tree. Satan can never kill this tree, friends. He may strip it down until you'll say, can these bones live? But he will never touch the principle of life in that tree. And in due season, that life is going to make claims upon the God of restoration. And the God of restoration is going to come in chapter 2 and say, I will restore, saith the Lord. All the years that palmer worm worked in your life, all the years the locust did his damage, all the years the cankerworm did, I will restore, saith the Lord. And my soul persuades me to believe that. That it doesn't matter what the devil's done. Doesn't matter what he's robbed us of. He who laughs last, laughs longest. Let's see who will be laughing in the end, friends. Let's see. I sent Brother Max a text the other day. I said, Brother Max, I'm really convinced that the days of the palmer worm and the locust and the caterpillar and so forth, they're numbered. I said, their days are numbered. They may try to hide here and hide there, but in the lives of the genuine sons and daughters of God, as the spring sun comes and visits us once again, their days are numbered among the sons and daughters of God. I believe it, friends. And all we've got to do is yield ourselves unto him and not give ourselves over to those things. The prophet says this is an indestructible tree. You can never kill this tree because it's ordained what for? To bring forth his fruit in his season. We ordained to bring forth fruit, friends. From the foundation of the world, he predestined and ordained you to bring forth a certain manner of fruit. Because you planted by the rivers of water. One water, the Holy Ghost expressing itself in a manifest way in The bride tree, his fruit tree, bringing forth the fruits that he's ordained you, that you predestinated. The prophet says it cannot wither. Why? He's got predestinated fruit in there. Ah, friends. Why do you think we can never be satisfied? Because we haven't fully expressed our predestinated fruit. That's why you may try to hide in your education, you may try to hide in this, that, and the other, but you will never be satisfied as a believer until you express the predestinated fruit that he's ordained you to bring forth. He says it couldn't die. He says these worms eat it down, but it couldn't die. That's wonderful. It couldn't die. And this tree, though it's been persecuted, though it's been made fun of since the very beginning, it's been clubbed and beaten and everything done to it, it cannot die. It will not die. It can't, because it's holding in it the predestinated word of God. It has to come forth for his fruit in his own predestinated season. It has to, we know, the predestinated word and fruit for the bride. And it has to come forth from the bride. From all of his bride, friends. From every single member of the bride tree you will express. Just lay in the right channel. And let's let him do his work. The prophet says, Joel saw every one of them bugs eat down to the bottom. But he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. It's got to come forth. Because it's holding the predestinated word of God. It's a law. It's a law. It's more sure than the law of springtime and harvest. It's more sure, this law, that what God has put inside of you, has ordained you to bring forth. The season will come when he's going to draw nigh unto your soul. He's going to come and brood over your experience once again. And you just lay in the right channel. You're going to start bringing forth what you're supposed to bring forth. It has to be like that. The prophet says, this beetle, the palmer worm, and so forth. He says, it looks like four beetles. We know that it's not. It's actually one beetle in four different stages. So the devil progressively gets to work on this bright tree. One thing leads to another. The first thing was the palmer worm. He says, that little bitty insect of a worm. What does he do? He comes to destroy the fruits of the tree. That's the first thing that the devil's going to be aiming at. And then he starts speaking about the fruits. He says, the first fruit he took off was brotherly love. Ah, friends, that's the palmer worm. The first thing he'll do, he'll start. Why? Because without unity, we're going to fail. Without unity, we cannot bring forth the fullness of what we're supposed to bring forth. So he's going to come and start to work on the brotherly love, first of all. Because if you can just get people that we disunited, it's not going to be easy for us to express what this fruit tree is supposed to express. It says the first thing it took off was brotherly love. That's one of the things that kills the church there, without brotherly love. He says, and next he wanted to eat on the fruit of faith. Maybe he's eating the fruits on the tree. He came now to the fruit of faith, faith in the word. What's happening in the message now? Look at all the people questioning whether Brother Branham was really a prophet and so forth. Questioning the message and so forth. That's the palmer worm, friends. That's how the palmer worm comes. He tries to eat the fruit of faith. Because if you don't believe the promises for your day, if you're not in the divine ordained channel for your day, how are you going to bring forth his fruit in his season? He's going to try to pull you out of there and put you somewhere else, that you're not lying in the presence of the restoring presence of the sun. And that's what he's doing. It's the palmer worm. He's coming to eat, to find how he can eat down this fruit tree, the bride tree. It's the palmer worm. The prophet says he wanted to eat the fruit of faith. Now look, how do you know that's the word? It's been translated so many times. I mean, if the devil can get you to lose faith that this isn't the word of God, he's got you beat from the beginning. He's got you conquered. You can't even get to second base. If you don't believe this is the infallible word of God, if you don't believe the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet says, you'll never get to second base. You'll never get anywhere in your Christian experience. And Satan will come and try to eat on those things, to plant doubt and to try to do these kind of things. Don't have anything to do with them. Amen. Don't stay in that atmosphere. Bring yourself back into the atmosphere and lay in the presence of the spring sun. And put on those messages and open the channel of restoration once again. That God has ordained, I will restore, saith the Lord. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. That's what the word says. We just have to lay ourselves there. He says the next one that came was the locust. He speaks of a lot of fruits, if you read the message, that the devil comes to work at. But then the devil, having eaten at the fruits, he now comes and changes himself from the palmer worm to the locust. And he says the next stage was the locust. What does the locust do? A locust eats the leaves. He starts eating the leaves. What did he do? Destroyed the leaves. What is the leaves for? He destroys divine fellowship. Oh, friends. That the fellowship of believers is no longer divine fellowship anymore. We speak politics, we speak sport, we speak all these kind of things. Oh, friends, it's the locust at work. Now, something's been lost. There's no more divine fellowship when the sons and daughters of God sit down together. There's no more the quickening power that comes down to quicken people's experience because of your fellowship one with another. Oh, friends, that's how the devil starts to work next. He starts on brotherly love, starts on faith, all those different other attributes of the fruits of your life. And the second thing he starts to work on now, when the locust comes, he wants to destroy fellowship, but it's divine fellowship. Oh, he says, that's right, sitting in heavenly places. My. He doesn't want believers to sit together in heavenly places. He wants our fellowship to be earthbound fellowship. He wants us to fellowship around earthly things, about things that keep us earthbound. Friends, we're surrounded by influences that want to keep us earthbound. Surely, when we come together with one another, we want something that will raise us up. Something that could raise us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But that's what he says the locust comes to do. He comes to destroy divine fellowship. And then he speaks about the other stages of this beast as well. Oh, friends, it's a serious beast. It's a serious thing to work with. Now, just to close off, I just want to take a little thought that he takes from another message, from the message Return and Jubilee, just for a few minutes. The prophet gives us another principle here, which I really like. It's, if you listen to the message Return and Jubilee, because every 50th year is Jubilee. We know we're in 65, the prophet went, 2015, it's a Jubilee. You know, the voice of God sent me a nice little like diary, Jubilee diary, where it's every message the prophet preached, and it's got pages you can write on and stuff, and questions about it. It's really nice. It was a Jubilee little book. Now, the Jubilee, the prophet is preaching in Louisiana. It's the 50th year after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the Pentecostal people. So he comes and he's preaching Return and Jubilee. And the first night he's going to preach about what is the Jubilee, and the next night he's going to preach how to return in the season of Jubilee. That's what he's preaching in these messages. And he takes Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. Let's read them. We'll just take a few more minutes and get this thought to close because I think it'll help us. Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. This is the law of the Jubilee. Let's read from verse 8. Leviticus 25 from verse 8. If you go up to 8 there, brother, thanks. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years, 49 years, unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. We know the 10 sevens of the Bible. You know, Revelations 10, 7 and so forth. You'll always find the 10 sevens. The Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Ah, friends, it doesn't matter the mistakes you made in that 49 years. You may have sold your land because of poverty. You may have got so out of tune with God, you didn't have his blessing anymore, that you had to sell your land, your inheritance. It doesn't matter in the Jubilee. If you would just hear the Jubilee trumpet, you could go back and take that which belonged to you. That's what the Jubilee is. Oh, friends, the Jubilee is the great restoration time. When the God of restoration blows the trumpet and says, restoration time has come. Leave your taskmasters behind. Liberty has come. Go back to your possessions. That's what the Jubilee is. He says, the prophet in the message, Return and Jubilee, in Leviticus 29, 25, 9 and 10, thou shalt make an atonement in the Day of Atonement. Now, as I understand and have been told, this is the time of 50 years ago when the Spirit was poured out fresh in the state of Louisiana. So you go and listen to this message, the prophet could see what they had. And he could see where they were now. And he wanted to come and try to express to them, to say there's been a palmer worm, there's been a caterpillar, there's been a canker worm, there's been a locust that's brought you from there in 1906 to where you are now. And he wants to show them the time has come to return to that which rightfully belongs to you. Now he says, Israel was a servant to God. And he was given a possession. He was given his land, given his inheritance. And this possession was not to be given to anybody else. I love that, friends. You may sell your possession to somebody, but it's always yours. That's what God ordained for you is yours. That's your inalienable right. It doesn't matter what the palmer worm does. Doesn't matter what the canker worm does. When the season of restoration comes, when the jubilee trumpet sounds, you don't have to allow him to have your inheritance anymore. You can enforce your claim and say, that was given to me by God himself. This is my inheritance. And just as much as the spring sun comes and drives death back off the seed so that it can bring forth of its own kind, you can enforce your claim over all the works that the devil has been doing in your experience to get back your possession. Because no matter how much people say this and that, when God goes and looks back, when the priest would go into the temple, when they would look in the title deeds of the land, they could trace it right back to Joshua, the son of Nun. That inheritance was given to you by God himself. It wasn't Joshua that gave them the inheritance. God gave them that inheritance. And look what the palmer worm and the canker worm is trying to do to the land of Israel now. Through that great big teeth bug that the prophet speaks about called Obama. Trying to get them to give up their rightful inheritance. To sell out their inheritance for filthy lucre. So-called security and peace. Doesn't work, friends. The prophet says this possession was not to be given to anyone else. It was to be Israel only. Palestine belonged to them. If we had time, he says, we could take it back. To show when their mothers had their birth pains and brought forth, and they cried out, Reuben, that was possessionally placing that boy in his land. And friends, we've been through the birth pains in our experience. As believers, the prophet says the birth pains can get tremendous sometimes. The things we have to go through to be freed of certain things, to be purged of certain things, to bring us into a certain condition. But friends, before you were born, right from your spiritual birth, God spoke your place in the land. Maybe you're supposed to raise corn. Maybe you're supposed to raise sheep. Maybe you're supposed to be one of the Levites looking after the temple. God has his inheritance for his sons and his daughters. And it doesn't matter what the Philistines did. Doesn't matter if Israel would sell themselves out. Doesn't matter what if you got poor and you sold yourself out to another brother, another sister. Sold your children into slavery. Just wait for the jubilee to sound. Just wait for the season of restoration. As soon as that trumpet sounded, you would go back and take your inheritance. It was time for that. Just to close with that, the prophet says now, Joshua divided the inheritance. Each person was placed. He says it's a type of God placing in the church himself. Every member, every stone, every place, every Christian to itself. So God has placed you where you are for a purpose. I don't think the devil's going to leave you like that. He says, what a picture it puts before us of God and his masterworks. Nobody could have done that but God. He says, God, by his marvelous grace, gave these people this land in this position and placed them according to his word and the birth of the people. How perfectly it clicked right together. And think, it was only a type. And now no one else could take that place. That had to be for Israel alone. Just them alone was the only ones that could take this place. And the blessing is still on the place. And if someone or other during that time, if they lost their inheritance by some means, maybe by poverty, some other way, they lost their inheritance, what their fathers had given to them. One would leave it to his son, he would leave it to his son. But they lost it. If somehow they lost it, that which was given them by God, there came a year called the Jubilee year. Ah, friends, God is so good with His Jubilees. And to His sons and His daughters, God is so faithful to visit in His season. God is so faithful that He'll never leave things in His land with His people in perpetuity like that. He'll come past in the season of restoration to visit His sons and His daughters. Remember some time back when you preached about the feasts, that God had His appointed times. And people would get away from the tabernacle, get away from the feast, get away from the presence of God in Shiloh, whatever, would go back to Dan or go back to Ephraim, wherever. And the people would go and work in the fields. It would be hot, it would be tiring, would be busy with this. Mothers would be looking after their children. Now they'd start to get out of tune with the purposes of God. And then there'd be wars would come and different things would accumulate in Israel. And then God would have His appointed time once again. He'd have His feast. And He would call His people back to Jerusalem once again. Because He had a redemptive purpose and He wanted to renew His people once again. He wanted to refresh His people once again. God had an appointed time. And friends, God is the God who still has an appointed time. I believe that, friends. He's been so good. If I look back in the years that I've been a believer, there's been times when winter has really wanted to set in. But He's been so faithful. He's so faithful that He'll draw nigh. Now, there was a song once somebody sang, says, just when you think you can't take any more, He comes knocking at your door. He's the friend of the wounded heart. And that's the truth. Sometimes you get to that point that you think, can this go on anymore in my life? But friends, He's never far away at that kind of a time. The great God of restoration, He sees the cry inside of your soul. Just as much as those women in the Old Testament who were barren. Who was it, Rebecca, or was it Rachel? I can't remember which one. It came to her husband and said, give me children or give me death, or whatever she said. You know, because her womb was crying out because she was ordained unto something and she couldn't be satisfied with things the way that they were. And her husband rebuked and says, am I God? You can't speak to the Lord. Go and speak to the God of restoration. And friends, to the sons and daughters of God, there's a cry inside of the soul for restoration. There's a cry inside of the soul to express it. So as the sister was singing about the realities of God, there's a cry inside of the lives of the sons and daughters of God. And friends, if there's a deep in you, there's a deep out there to respond. There's a God of restoration that when you start seeking with all your heart, when you start seeking Him for His glory once again, He's going to move that sun and He's going to draw nigh unto you in your experience. And He's going to have an appointed time with you once again. And He's going to blow that Jubilee trumpet. And He's going to say, yes, you lost a lot in this cold winter, but it's time, go back to your inheritance now. And let's respond, friends. Let's give ourselves to Him. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship before we close. The restoration of the bright tree. Amen. I think we'll channel our applause in prayer to Him. That's the best. Let's really speak to Him at this time, friends. I don't know if you like me, but it's a real good time now to speak to Him. It's a real, real good time in any spare moment that you've got to shut yourself in the closet and speak to the Lord. And say, oh God of restoration. You said You would restore. Lord, we make a claim upon You. And let's see what the Lord will do for us.
We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had so many big but empty words. So we come before Your face, asking for Your grace. Take Your people to a state of fruitful land. Restore Your church again.
Touch Your people.
Touch Your people once again. Oh, with Your precious holy hand. May Your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary deeds, but
to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again. Lord, you see a tired servant, broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hands. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary needs, no, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again.
Lord, you see your tired servants.
Oh, Lord, you see your tired servants and your broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary needs, but to restore authority and power. May your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again.
Let's sing one more sense, then let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord in Jesus' name.
Oh, and renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me, Lord.
Create in me a clean heart.
Oh, God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not
away from thy presence, O Lord.
And
take not thy Holy Spirit from me. joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Oh, cast me not, my Lord,
cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Take it not.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Creating
me a clean heart,
oh God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Creating me, Lord,
creating me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not
away from thy presence, O Lord.
Take
not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Take it not.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
and renew
a right spirit within me.
And renew.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Renew me, Lord.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Saints, let's speak to him, the God of restoration. He's promised you, I will restore. Why don't you speak to him? From your soul, just express your claim. Let's come before him in prayer. Father, just looking unto thee, Lord, upon this day, just grateful and thankful.
Father Jesus, thank you for this time. Father, we gladly come before thee, Lord, even upon this day. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, Father, for Father, that Lord Savior, Father, Easter morning, Lord, knowing indeed, Lord, that Father, that winter, Lord Savior, that has crept in even amidst our lives, Lord. Even amidst our
we need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary need, Lord, but to restore authority and power.
power. May your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again. Oh, Lord, you see your tired servants and the broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us. When we stand up facing final battle cry, restore your church again.
Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living glorious church. Not for temporary needs, no, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again.
Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living glorious church. Not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again.
One more breath. Amen. Maybe I'm not what I used to be.
Not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be.
Let's sing it one more time.
Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change.
growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? None but Jesus Christ, holy on the scene. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For I want to be what God wants me to be. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race. The black and the white, Lord, I must keep pace. Who will win this race? The choice is yours, the one you fear the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let it be in your heart. Lord, have your way. Well, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All I want to be, what God wants me to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All I want to be, God wants me to be.
It's good to be justified, friends. Let's sing that song. We're justified. You never did it in the first place. Because he doesn't look at you, he looks at the desire in you.
Amen.
And as long as you're sorry for what you did, he forgives you straight away. That's the Lord.
Hallelujah. I was sitting alone
and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I've made mistakes. I can't hide from him, he knew. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you?
Hallelujah!
We're justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Oh, so often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. 'Cause he promised I'd be victorious when I know I'm not at all. So I learned the deepest in my soul is just from my soul. You said you've not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh,
he looked at your perfect picture
without one strand or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said, you're just trapped in that body. You bypass your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You justify.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You justify. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You justify.
Justify.
Justify. Justify. You have not done it in the first place. You justify.
Oh,
justify.
Justify.
You have not done it in the first place. You justify.
Amen. Just ask Brother Jonathan, would you mind come to close for us in prayer? You may as well start with the finish the course here with a beating heart. Just to say, Saints, Wednesday night, there's no normal service. We're having a special prayer meeting for song leaders, musicians. We'd really ask everybody who's involved in music and sound to please come on Wednesday. We'd really like to have a prayer meeting concerning certain things. So that's Wednesday, normal time. So Friday evening, prayer meeting, normal time. Please come and support the prayer meeting. I think it'll really help us for the weekend. Saturday, 6 o'clock, let's meet. We have service. Sunday, normal time. And then Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, we have a communion service. Really ask you to be in prayer for these things. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you because you always meet us in our place of need.
Yes, Lord.
You know all we needed this morning. You've brought us here and you've touched to everyone's heart. You've talked to everyone.
Oh, Lord.
And we come out of here strengthened.
Oh, Lord.
With hope and with a promise that you're always with us.
Amen.
May you bless your servant for the word he's brought.
Yes, Lord.
May you bless each and everyone that was here.
Yes,
I know
Lord.
That they have all received their portion and they're ready to attack this coming week.
Amen.
With you in them. Go home with us and just keep touching us and help us to go get closer to you every day.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. God bless you, Brian. Amen. God bless you, Brian. Let's sing one more as we dismiss it. We had one first by George. God bless you.
Entreat me not to leave thee, to return from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. Lord, do so to me more also. Give all death, part thee and me. Oh, death, part thee and me. Root to siding, root survey. Rewarded, root resting, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting. My King's one Redeemer, He's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found grace. Oh, as a told his reapers he's gleaning for life. Drop handfuls once in a while. Don't let a tire tell her the message. Holy Spirit, cover and encourage. Do some kind of healing among her. Tell her Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can find grace, you found grace. Boaz, the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. Ruth deciding, serving. Ruth rewarded, Ruth resting. Ruth deciding, Ruth serving. Ruth rewarded, Ruth resting. My kingsman redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you found grace. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with me? Oh, as I kindred, the winnow with barley on the threshing floor. Wash thyself and anoint thee. Put on thy raiment. Mark the place where he lied. Uncover his feet, lay thee down. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. Root deciding, root serving. Kingsman Redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you can find grace, you find grace. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. So faced with the same decision, God's bride must needs reach perfection. The harvest is ripe, the fields here is great. In this part of the vineyard we wait. We hear Boaz's voice cry, get ready. Take your position, Ruth, with your raiment spotless and white. Get ready for this last great flight. Oh, get ready, get ready. Take your position. Root deciding, serving.